Good morning. I haven't gotten to say good morning in a long time. It is great to be here and to see some of you I haven't gotten to see for a little while. And so it's awesome to be together again on a Sunday morning. And God really paved the way with incredible weather for us yet again. So thank you, Jesus, for that. What we were just experiencing there in worship, my hope is that it will continue. What we were starting to do is open our hearts up and saying, we want to take hold of what you're giving us, Jesus. Jesus has done the hard work and gotten us the gift, but we're trying to take hold of what he's given us. And so we've got an awesome passage of scripture in Ephesians 4 that we're going to get in, but I want to tell you a few just little snapshots. A couple I've heard from this week, and then one that kind of stretches over a bunch of years of my life. So I heard from somebody this week. They told me they started doing this for the first time in a very long time. They've had a really hard span of several years, lots of issues going on in their life, kind of from every angle. But this last week, they got up every day and they read a chapter out of the Gospel of John, and they went for a walk to try to listen to Jesus about it. And this person told me that they felt like themselves more this last week than they have for years and years and years. Like as if they're waking up is kind of, I would put my words on it. Because this time with Jesus is bringing them out of the cloud of chasing for all these securities and things that they wanted. It's bringing them back to being a real person by taking that walk each day after reading the Bible, just a chapter. They're getting to know Jesus, getting to fall in love with Jesus. Talk to somebody else that had a real truth that is a piece, I think, of setting this person free. So this person said they've got 3 days since they quit smoking, and they told me today, I love cigarettes, but I love Jesus more. Yeah. And it's easy to just like, if you aren't a smoker, it's easy to judge smokers. And if you aren't a particular type of sinner, it's easy to judge that particular type of sin, right? Of like whatever somebody's doing that they're struggling with, if you don't struggle with it, it's easy to think like, well, that's gross. So like, why do you even do that? But if you're in it, the truth is, if you're in it, you love it. You might hate it too. It might be a real dysfunctional love-hate thing. But that's what sin is about. Sin's about taking love that should go to God and shortcutting it somewhere else, short-circuiting it somewhere else. And so if you can get to that spot where you can admit, I love this thing, but I love Jesus more, then you're on the pathway to freedom because Jesus wants to give you that freedom, okay? I say pathway because there's some ups and downs. So here's what the last story I want to tell is on the ups and downs. Have any of you ever had a moment where you're struggling and struggling and struggling? You just maybe hate yourself even that you can't get over this thing you're struggling with. And then there's one day maybe, or maybe it's even just an afternoon where you feel like you get like a vacation from that monkey on your back. It's like suddenly like I can breathe, and maybe it doesn't last very long though, right? It's just this little period where like that wasn't hard to do the right thing. It's this little moment, right? So I'm not going to get into all the details this morning, but there is, if you follow Jesus for very long, something I can tell you I think you're going to experience is there's certain sins in your life that Jesus just in a flash will miraculously take from you. And maybe if you are down front praying just today for the first time, Jesus, take over my life, you might already be a different person. You might have a rage that is gone, or maybe even an addiction that is gone, or something. Sometimes Jesus just come in like a lightning bolt and just heal something in you, and it's just gone, and you're a totally different person. And then we can get real frustrated sometimes when further on in our walk with Jesus, there's some sort of sin, and maybe it seems even like a small thing, and you just can't get yourself out of that pit. You just keep falling into it over and over and over, and you think, I pray about it, but I don't get over it. I hate it, and I do everything I can, but I don't get over it. And why? And for me, I can remember, for whatever reason, for me, fasting, like not eating food for about a day, trying to get closer to Jesus. Whenever I would do that, maybe not whenever, but typically when I would do that, I would get this vacation from this monkey on my back. It was like for that little 24-hour period, my favorite part. I didn't like fasting, still don't like fasting. But my favorite part of it in that season of my life was it was like that monkey was off my back for that day. It was like a vacation from that like pestering voice of temptation. And if you've ever really struggled to try to get out of a sin, all of us have been slaves to sin. All of us have been addicts to sin. But you don't maybe really feel it until you try to break out, just how addicted you are to it, how you can't win on your own. And if you're going through that right now, you might think, oh, I need to do this by myself. I'm embarrassed of this as a Christian. I should just have victory right away. I should just be able to pray once and go to one worship service and just be a perfect person. Never yell at my kids again, or never, whatever the thing might be, never go back to the boats, or never, you know, whatever it is for you that, like, you know, I shouldn't be doing that. Jesus doesn't want me doing that. I don't look like Jesus when I'm doing it. I feel distant from Jesus. It makes me not want to read my Bible. It makes me not want to pray. It makes me want to just fast forward through my life. When you're struggling with something like that and you can't get out of it, some of us feel like, I'm a broken Christian. Something's wrong with me, so I need to cover up and hide. So I want to tell you today the truth of the matter, and I've read C.S. Lewis talking about it as well. Other strong Christians experience this sort of thing, is that there's some sins Jesus wants the lightning bolt out of you because he wants to show you how powerful he is. That if God wanted to, he could take every single filthy thing out of you, every bad habit out of you in a flash. And if all God wanted was for you to just have no dirty habits at all, if that's all he wanted for you, then he would just flash clean all of us 100%. I believe there's something he wants more than he wants us to have these individual virtues. And I'm borrowing some insight from C.S. Lewis here, but I've lived it out to you. More than just not being a drunk, or more than just not having a rage, or more than just not having a gambling problem that hurts our family. More than that, as much as Jesus does want to set you free from that, and those things steal and kill and destroy what he wants to give you, Jesus wants you to love him, to have faith in him no matter what happens. He wants you to be his child who is trustworthy as a part of his family. He wants you to be good, to put it very simply, to be like Jesus, to be a child of God. Not just in title, because we get the title as soon as we say yes to Jesus, but all the way through, where God could even trust us. There's this super sad statement in the Gospel of John where it says Jesus didn't trust anybody while he's here on earth because he knew what was in a person. Isn't that like sad? But like, that's true. Every single person will let you down if you lean on them hard enough. Because we're not like Jesus, right? Jesus wants to make you like him, though. Jesus wants to make it to where you're good all the way through. Not the absence of bad, but the fullness of light, right? How do you get darkness out of a room? You don't get a mop or a broom. You get so much light in there that there's no room for darkness. Okay, so God doesn't come with a mop or a broom into your life to just kick out just the darkness. His plan is no more darkness and full of light. So sometimes he lets you struggle under the weight of a sin, sometimes for years, and this is disappointing to hear this, but I've lived this out, so this is truth. I think it's going to set us free as we know the truth. Why would Jesus let you struggle? Not necessarily every day, but over and over, seasons of your life. Like, I just can't fix this thing that I know is wrong in me. This thing I know is not like Jesus. It's because I believe that Jesus is trying to teach you a lot of important lessons. One of which is that without him, you are no good. Maywood has a big strength of a lot of us know that we're not any good without Jesus. But you start doing the right thing for a few years, it gets harder to hold that truth in your heart. You start thinking, I'm a pretty good person. I can help people on my own. Maybe God even owes me some things. That's sort of crazy. You don't say it out loud because it sounds crazy, but you start believing it and it starts controlling how you act. And when you struggle with something that you think is a petty sin and is beneath you and you just can't break it, there's some humiliation in that, that I know God saw that I needed, and maybe some others of us will need, right? So there's some humiliation of, I know I can't fix myself. And when you go through trying and trying and trying and you don't fix yourself, and you see like you hurt other people in your life, and you hate that about yourself, or maybe even hate these pieces of yourself, God will take you through that if you will hold on to Him. Because faith doesn't happen just with our words. Faith doesn't happen just with our brains. Faith becomes complete when our feet get involved. When we start walking, even when we don't feel like it. When we stick with Jesus, even though He doesn't do the things we want. The same sin I was struggling with, I have a good friend of mine, really great man, who walked away from Jesus because Jesus did not help him on this sin fast enough. And he got tired of it, and he destroyed his faith, and he walked away. This is a real thing that people can struggle with. Like, why isn't Jesus fixing every piece of me on my schedule? And it's because the little things that are petty sins that you feel ashamed about are maybe surface level things. And they have roots that go really deep. And those roots are things that you would rather just cover up. And Jesus' mission a lot of times is to dig all those roots up. And He's going to have to leave the surface struggle so you keep working. Because if He fixed all the things you're ashamed about, you would stop trying. You would give up with Him. And the one thing Jesus needs, the only thing Jesus needs to make you perfect, is your willingness to cooperate. If you are willing to cooperate with Him, He will make perfection. And so He leaves sometimes these sins that are there that you see that you hate, because it motivates you to let Him dig deeper and do the real surgery that needs to be done. And so for me, with that sin struggle, I would fast on occasion somewhat to just get like a break from it. But eventually, literally, I wrote in a journal one year, had two goals for the whole year. One of them was to get free from that sin. I wound up moving to a different physical location to get a part of an accountability group. Wound up doing all sorts of stuff. Everything I knew how to do, I kept doing to try to get better in this area. And at some point, you probably have seen this if you've been around a lot of addicts, just because it's right there on the surface, but it's the same spiritual condition everybody has. But when somebody hates the sin in their life enough to do anything, then they're going to get victory with Jesus. As long as they combine that desperation with Jesus, then they're going to have victory. But as soon as it's like, well, I don't want to work at Sonic, or I don't want to have to move, or I don't want to have to do this thing that's inconvenient, then I don't know how it's going to turn out. I had somebody talk to me one time about how they had an easier time following Jesus when they were living in a recovery house and they didn't have a truck. And this person was a chronic relapser. And I'd tried everything my brain knew on like how to help this person. And we'd prayed the prayers I knew how to pray. And finally I said, well, if that's when you've had success, like, why would you not sell your give your truck to somebody and go move back into a recovery house? They did not do that. They left my office. They weren't grumpy about it. I don't know. I mean, I look pretty nice. I act pretty nice. Sometimes people just, there's real bite there and people just don't take it. They're just like, that's silly, Jake. And he left. So he didn't do it. And that's funny for you guys in the moment, except for like that guy is not alive anymore. I don't know that I was right. Like, that was my best guess. But I just know when you start getting desperate and you combine Jesus with desperation, Jesus sets you free. Like, it doesn't always happen as fast as you want, but I've never seen it fail. If you're willing to do anything with Jesus, then He'll take you to be like Him. He doesn't have any other destination. He doesn't want you just to become a good parent. He doesn't want you just to be able to hold down a job. He wants you to become a child of God. So why did I share all of that stuff today? It's because the other day I was praying and I had this little temptation come up, and I prayed out of like an old habit, Jesus, help me not to fall into that temptation. What I realized as I was praying, I felt like God started to talk to me about, Jake, it has been more than a decade since you have struggled with that ever. And the truth that came through in my heart was like, that first taste that you used to have when you would fast, like now it's my life. Like, I'm living the vacation from that sin. not in like a prideful way, because here's the truth that came into me that wouldn't have come into me a long time ago, is I know that I can't get free on my own. I know that if Jesus left me today, I would be a mess in that way again. I wouldn't know that without having tried so hard and failed so much. And now I see a little bit of what God was doing in me to change me as a person. Like, I wasn't ready to be righteous on the surface in that way until he gave me a righteous heart. And the truth is like, I don't see it in like a prideful way, like, man, I'm so good in that area. It's really like, this is such a gift. Sometimes we talk about the gift of righteousness and we think it's like God has like a ledger on a piece of paper and he's just like put an R next to us. I'm like, okay, nothing really changed except the big piece of paper. The gift of righteousness is like Jesus literally wants to give you goodness, wants to make you into a good woman or into a good man. That's the gift he has for you. So when you start to experience that gift, it's so good. And I wish I could go back to myself and tell myself it's going to be so good. But the reality is, that's what faith is. Like, faith is saying, I don't know why God is doing this or that in my life right now, but I'm going to stick with God today. I'm going to keep doing the next right thing in front of me. I'm going to be desperate to get rid of sin and desperate for more Jesus. And he will carry you through to perfection, but I've got a long way to go, and my guess is we've got a long way to go, right? So I've talked a lot, but I wanted to set the stage because it's easy to miss all that's talked about in this passage. So it's Ephesians chapter 4. If you got a Bible, please turn there. And we're going to be in verse 17. 17 through 19, it tells us about the darkness. It tells us about how we used to be. He says, so I tell you this and insist on it in the Lord that you must no longer live as the Gentiles do in the futility of their thinking. These are people that don't believe in God. They are darkened in their understanding and separated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to the hardening of their hearts. What's that saying? Away from God, that we're ignorant, that we don't even know we're wrong. That we're in the dark and our hearts are hard. We can't hear God. We can't feel the way we're supposed to feel. Having lost all sensitivity, they have given themselves over to sensuality so as to indulge in every kind of impurity, and they are full of greed. So here's what life without God looks like. It's dark. You don't know better, but your heart's hard. And you're chasing after things that feel good, right? You're trying to fill this hard heart up. But that last line about the greed, that greed shows like those things aren't very filling, right? Yeah. You become greedy when you're hungry. If you have ever witnessed somebody who's actually physically hungry, has not eaten in a long time, you give them some food, you will see someone greedily eat. Like, they eat in a whole different way. And it's because they're empty. And so they're greedy to be filled. When we don't follow God, we wind up greedy because we're over and over putting stuff in that doesn't help. We're struggling for any little bit of good. Verse 20, here's where things turn, though. Here's where the good comes in. It says, that, however, is not the way of life you learned. See, he's describing Christianity here. He says a way of life. Christianity doesn't start and end right here in front of the stage with the prayer. That's a step that we take on this way of life. That's following Jesus as a way of life for us. When you heard about Christ and were taught in him in accordance with the truth that is in Jesus, you were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self. All of us have a way of life before we knew God. All of us have a way of life when we are pushing away from God. And what it says here is you have to take action to put it off. Not just one time. You have to over and over choose, I'm not going back to that old way. And how do you know what the old way is? It says, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires. All of us have desires that we've given into at some point that were liars, right? Even little stuff like you're super stressed and it's late at night and you're really tired, But instead of going to sleep, which is what you need to maybe actually get better, being stressed out has this desire of like, I just need to eat a bunch of ice cream or a bunch of whatever. And how many of us have made that choice? Late at night, we're eating a bunch of crazy food instead of going to sleep. That's a deceitful desire. Like, you will not feel better. Right? And that's a really easy to laugh at because we've all done it and it seems small. We do the same sort of stuff in much bigger ways, right? Our pride gets hurt as a parent and we go do something that injures our ability to be a good parent, right? There's all sorts of stuff that happens. Some boss makes you feel small, so then you quit that job, and then you wind up not having the life that you want, that you respect, because you keep demanding so much respect in prideful ways. It's a deceitful desire, right? It says, I'm going to give you respect if you give in to anger right now, but it actually takes your respect away. That's what a deceitful desire is. You can always know if you're following Jesus or following Satan. It's like, are those desires turning out to be true? Right? If you're wise enough to look at some other people's lives, you can see how things play out. Don't go down every bad road yourself. Like, it will eat you up. But there's plenty of examples right around here. We can learn from each other, not just on addiction, but in all sorts of ways. Like, how does it play out when you give in to that desire? What happens? Do you get what you're looking for? But here's the best part. It says we're taught not to be, to put off our old self, which is being corrupted by deceitful desires. But here it says, to be made new in the attitude of your minds. And to put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. Christianity pushes way further than any of us would have ever asked to go. None of us would have the audacity to say, I think my life goal is to become as righteous and as holy as God. All right, it just sounds even crazy to say, right? And then you see, like, that's Jesus's goal for you. And if you want to go with Jesus, that's where he's going. And he has a history of, like, he'll let you either come with, he'll keep you with him if you want to stay, or he'll let you not if you don't want to, right? But that's where he's going. Sometimes righteousness and holiness, we get weird ideas. What do those mean? Righteousness means you do the right thing and you have right relationships with other people, right? As far as it's concerned on you. God never has to go and apologize. Jesus never went and said, well, I'm really sorry I did that, or it's because I didn't sleep well, or it's because the food was bad, or whatever. Jesus always does right by everybody. So not everybody has a good relationship with Jesus, but literally that's on them, and it doesn't keep Jesus up at night. Like, Jesus has peace because he does more than is deserved by everybody around him. And imagine the sort of peace as you hit your pillow at night. If you could say, today I treated every single person and everything that came my path, I mean, even animals or whatever, I treated everything in a way that was right before God. That I did it the way Jesus would have done it. That even when people were insulting me, I was trying to figure out a way to bless them. And I stood up when I needed to stand up, and I spoke out when I needed to speak out, but it was always done trying to protect the weak and trying to help people find new life. Like, imagine how much peace comes with that. Imagine how much goodness comes with that. That's the righteousness that Jesus gives you and tells you, put this on. You don't have to create it. He creates you. You just have to put on what he gives you. So when you read the Bible, when you go for that walk, you're saying, Jesus, I want to look at the wardrobe. I want to open the drawer to my clothes today. That's when I'm reading the Bible and I'm listening. And then you got to put it on is when you actually change your actions, right? The person who's given up smoking, like they said, I want to get done with something that's enslaving me and I want to have more Jesus. So they took some action. They put those clothing on, right? The inside stuff, Jesus does that. If you just put on the next step that he's telling you to do, if you listen and then you do, he will create. The holiness piece, that's a word we never use outside of church, really. But holiness means set apart and useful for something great, right? Something special. realize this about yourself. Some of us get such a bad view of ourselves before we ever get involved with church, and we think we're losers, or we're terrible, or we're failures. And then sometimes even within Christianity, we have this idea of humility as saying that I'm good, I'm not good, I'm bad. The reality is God wants to create holiness in you. He wants you to be specially useful to Him. He sees all sorts of potential in Lance, in Danny, who's over there, in Heather. He sees all this potential for how they could literally be useful to God. How God has a special task prepared for you to do. And He's hoping that you will take hold of it. Somebody was talking to me earlier this week about reading in Hebrews and how we're like the house, but God is like the architect. And a house can be great, but the architect's always greater, you know? But I realized, like, for an architect to be great, they make good houses. And it's okay for us to say, like, God is making us good. Not in like a prideful way, but in like a true way. Like, God has put good stuff in you. If you look around this crowd and you talk to each other, you'll realize, like, we love a lot of good stuff about each other. God has authored that stuff into us, but it's good. So that's what we get to take hold of. When you put on the next right thing, then God is going to make you righteous. God is going to make you holy. That's what Christianity is about. He's the next several weeks and the next several verses in this passage are about all the details of what's the next right thing for us to do. But today, you got to start with the want. You got to start with the, I want what Jesus is offering. I don't just want to be a little better. I want to be like Jesus. I want to be a righteous person. I want to be a useful to God for a special thing type of person. Last thought, we got about 5 minutes. During worship, this thought just came to me. It only is kind of tied in a little bit, but I'm hoping God wants somebody to hear it today. So during worship, I was thinking about, I think a situation somebody might be in today is, you know, you've made a big mistake and you want to make it up to God. And kind of a picture I got in my head was like a husband who's done something terrible to his wife and then buys flowers. And the flowers are like, they're not really important, right? Because in a way, it kind of becomes like, well, this horrible thing I did, and then on the other side of the scale is this like $35 worth of flowers or whatever in 10 minutes or 15 minutes of time. And in that light, it's not very romantic, it's not very good, it's not very much, right? You know, expectations have to be pretty low for that to be enough, right? And I think some of us are trying to come to God that way. We know we've made mistakes, and we think like, well, I can wrestle up some flowers, I can wrestle up some sort of goodness, and I can bring it and set it at His feet. And I just want to say, like, that is not your relationship with God. God never describes you as an individual that I know of. Maybe I'm off a little bit on this, but I don't think God describes you as an individual as His bride. Jesus' bride is us as a group. Amen. Together, we become the bride of Christ. That's what we're meant to be. But as individuals, we're called to be God's children. Children don't have that same dynamic. When a child makes a mistake and then they make some terrible little, you know, crude gift, and they bring it to the parent because in that moment they love the parent and they've maybe even forgotten about the bad thing they did. The parent's heart just like swells, right? It's so good that they made the little craft or they made the little illustration. Because it's a totally different dynamic, right? You're raising that kid up. And you're there, you don't come to the kid with needs. You come to the kid with love because you want the kid to grow. And you know the kid's gonna make mistakes and hurt you and say terrible stuff to you and be mean to their siblings and all, you know all that when you got started, or at least by staying around, you knew that was part of it, right? And your expectation isn't that they be equal with you. Your expectation is, I want to help you grow up to be like me. That's our relationship with God. We're not coming with some sort of like makeup flowers and feeling like, oh, we got to be good enough to show up and have something to say. We're coming like kids. And when we come together like kids to Jesus enough, he will make us together into that sort of spouse for him, right? Together we'll become mature. Together we'll be able to have something to offer Jesus that's amazingly enough, like Jesus' goal for us is us to come up to him as a group. Okay? It's a much higher goal than we would set. But don't hesitate to start, because you are a child of God as soon as you accept him. And he's not looking for you to earn it. He's looking for you to come and listen and do what he says. Okay? I want to pray a blessing over you guys, okay? Let's bow. Jesus, all of us are struggling with sin. I'm not the dad I want to be every day. I know all of us have some area of our life that we want to improve. But Jesus, my prayer for us is that you would give us the rest of today as a vacation from that sin. Show us what righteousness will feel like. And then Jesus, I pray you'd give us the faith to stick with you to the other side of that sin. I know sin will not live for eternity, but with you, we will. We're going to come to the other side of all of our struggles. And so Jesus, give us the faith to get there. And I pray today you give us the vision that it's possible. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.